Hallelujah. Glory to God. You are welcome to the Daily Faith Boost, our fourth episode of our running series this week. And I believe that you have been having an especially wonderful time. How's your week been? How's the series been so far? Fear not. So I'd like to start again today with the amplified version of the 23rd Psalm. Are you ready? Okay, let's go. The Lord is my shepherd to feed, guide, and shield me. I shall not lack. He makes me lie down in fresh, tender, green pastures. He leads me beside the still and restful waters. He refreshes and restores my life. Myself, he leads me in the paths of righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with him, not for my earning it, but for his name's sake. Yes, though I walk through the deep, sunless valley of the shadow of death, I will fear or dread no evil, for you are with me, your rod to protect and your staff to guide me. They comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My brimming cup runs over. Surely, or only goodness, mercy, and unfailing love shall follow me all the days of my life, and through the length of my days, the house of the Lord and his presence shall be my dwelling place. Amen. So we are in the fourth verse. Yea, do I walk through the deep, sunless valley of the shadow of death, I will fear or dread no evil, for you are with me, your rod to protect and your staff to guide, they comfort me. So yesterday we talked about faith versus fear. And it's important you remember this too, because faith, all right, is a spiritual force. Fear also is a spiritual force, all right? Faith attracts the power of God, stirs up the power of God. Faith moves God, and then fear also moves the devil, okay? Something important we said yesterday, which I believe bears repetition, Satan cannot do anything to us apart from fear, any more than God can do anything or something for us apart from faith, all right? And I said, this is Kenneth Copeland speaking, all right? Satan, and beautiful stuff. Satan cannot do anything to us apart from fear, any more than God can do something for us apart from faith. Faith moves God because faith is in God. Fear moves Satan because fear is in Satan. You would look through the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ and how that in certain individual miracles that took place, he emphasized your faith has made you whole. Or he'd say, be it unto you according to your faith. I mean, it's so amazing how by faith people could pull the power. Okay? By faith people could pull that power and then stuff happened. Great things happen, like the woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5. Okay, she came in the press behind. She has said to herself, if she touches the hem of his garment, she will be made well. See, guys, she didn't have to say, excuse me, Lord Jesus, all right, I would like to touch you. Do I have some permission? Would you release your power at the point where I touch? No, by her faith, all right, Jesus was heading to Jairus' house. She pulls the power from behind and, hey, Jesus turns back and says, something just happened. By her faith, she pulled the power of God. Are you in need of a miracle? Are you in need of something right now? Where you are, by your faith. All right, like, Father, in the name of Jesus, I believe, I receive. What is it? And then every day you thank God. And every day you thank God. And every day you thank God. And every day you thank God. Your faith will bring that thing to you. So I could say, like Jesus said, your faith will make you whole. Whole is to be complete. Whole means to lack nothing. Whole means to have all things in place. Your faith will make you whole. Is there something you're needing? Something you're lacking? Do you believe it? You're right. Smith Wigglesworth says that God could skip over 1,000 people to get to one person that has faith. Why? Because faith pulls the power of God. Faith pulls the power of God. Faith pulls the power of God. So one thing you and I must clearly recognize and very well understand is this. The same way faith pulls the power of God, fear could pull the power of the enemy. Okay, so Job in chapter 3, and then the 25th verse says, the thing that I greatly feared has happened to me. I was afraid. All right, so we saw how that in chapter 1, okay, his kids will have a party. Party will last for days. And then Job goes to offer sacrifices to God. And like, just in case my children have offended God, just in case my kids have done something they shouldn't do, just in case. Could it be, please, I need you to get this. Could it be that you make confessions of faith in fear? Could it be? Someone says, but how come? Once again, Job chapter 1. Job was offering up sacrifices to God, all right, just in case my kids have done something wrong. Could it be? All right, so maybe you take daily confessions, and then on a certain day you didn't, and then you just were so afraid something might go wrong, all right? Or, you know, you released your faith for something, okay, and then you heard it got worse, and suddenly you just thought, no, in Jesus' name, no, it might. Sometimes it might be fear working. You could pause a bit and give thanks. Glory to God. Thanksgiving diffuses the power of the enemy. Glory to God. Because sometimes you could jump back in and try to talk, but you're talking in fear. You're talking in anxiety. You're talking from that, no, it can't go wrong. Oh Lord, please don't make it happen. And that's what you're doing. I'm not saying that's what you're doing all the time. You are the one that would need to know, okay, I think this is what I'm doing right now. This is fear. This is me panicking. No. Switch to praise once you notice that. Switch to praise and sincerely, genuinely praise him. Mark 11:24 says, well, things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive it and you shall have it. I'll take that again. Mark 11:24 says, well, things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive it and you shall have it. So that lets us know that in the place of prayer, you must believe it's yours. To believe you receive means you take it. To believe you receive means you take it. It means you're saying it's yours. It's yours. It's yours. You have it now. Do you understand that? Now, once you do that, what's left? Give thanks. Oh, but I didn't get it yet. Give thanks. Oh, it hasn't happened yet. Give thanks. Oh, give thanks. Oh, whoa. Give thanks. Don't forget, faith is a substance of things hoped for. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. But we said yesterday, all right, that fear also is a substance of things not desired. Okay? You don't desire it, but you somehow are fearful. So you attract it. The ugly thing, that evil happening. Knock that thing out. Knock that thing out. All right? So you and I have got to understand this. How do we grow in fear? Fear is developed through meditating and acting on Satan's lies. Is that clear? Fear is developed through meditating and acting on the lies of the devil. Fear is applied by speaking of things that are not as though they were. You know, you're already saying it. You're saying it. And Satan loves to support and to help you develop your fear. Oh, wow. You start staring at the symptoms. Dear Lord, the symptoms get real. And then the symptoms get worse. Someone says, but even when I was confessing the word, the symptoms are getting worse. Yes, it would like to call your attention and say, hey, I'm here. Hey, you got to look at me. Hey, I'm in this place. You got to see me. I'm here. But you've got to tell yourself, no. I will stay with the word of God. I will not look at the fear, but I will look at the word of God. Listen, whatever you stare at grows. You understand that? If you stare at it, you grow. It will grow. Jesus was talking in, you know, Luke 21 about the end times. And he made a very, very interesting statement, all right, in Luke 21 and then the 26th verse of Luke 21. Allow me just read that in the New King James. Jesus said, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Did you get? Men's hearts failing them from fear heart fulfilled, Jesus said, when people observe all these things that will happen. So I'm actually using the New King James, all right? King James basically says, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming. So looking at, you know. So the more you look at the thing, your heart could fail. You panic. You get into deep, like very, very, very serious anxiety, child of God. All right? Deep and like very, very, very serious. All right. You remember in Proverbs, all right, chapter 18 and the 21st verse, Bible says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it will eat the fruit thereof. All right. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it will eat the fruit thereof. So if you love life, you speak life. If you, okay, I was going to say if you love death. I'm not sure anybody does. But do you know something? Fear acts, all right? And fear actually produces, all right? Or should I say fear acted on produces the law of sin and death. Did you get that? Faith acted on produces the law of life. Let's look at it this way. So Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it will eat the fruit thereof. So what happens? So I love life, I speak life. I love life, I speak life. What do you think is, who do you think is speaking? Faith or fear? It will be faith. Faith saying, mountain, move. You're speaking life, all right? I'm prospering. You speak life. This thing gets better. You speak life. I mean, you're staring at something, getting worse, and saying, no, in the name of Jesus, this is going to happen. This is going to change. This is going to happen. You speak in life. Like Abraham in Romans 4, Bible said, all right, he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and then he wasn't moved, all right, by the deadness of his body or the deadness of Sarah's womb. He stood at the promise of God. So what was he doing? Speaking life. He was calling himself Abraham, 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 Abraham. Speaking life. But when you speak death, death and life and the power of God, when you speak death, things are not working. Things are so bad. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to happen. Who do you think is talking? Faith or fear? Come on, child of God. Faith or fear? Okay, so fear acted upon produces the law of sin and death. Because you're uttering the voice of the enemy. That's what you're doing. You're uttering the voice of the enemy. Do you know that faith is released by words and by action? Did you get that? Faith is released by words and by action. So I'm trying to, I want you to see the inner chambers of faith. Okay? Faith is released by words and by action. Mark 11, 23, for instance, says, whosoever will say to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea. You know, so your faith is released by your words. How did you get born again? Romans 10, 9 and 10. With the heart man believe, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. All right? So faith is released by words there. Then how is faith released by action? James teaches us that faith without a corresponding action, all right? Faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. So faith is released by words and action. How is fear released? By words and action. So you start voicing out that fear. Oh, I think this is this. I think this is that. I think this is this. I think this is that. You're worried that someone might be hurt or someone has not come home yet. The phone is not going through. Maybe something went wrong. It leads to action. Call X, call Y, call Z, call F, call this. Check your phone again. Check your phone again. Check. Those actions. Those are actions. Those are actions. So you can neutralize the release of the fear by neutralizing or cutting off the words and then cutting off the actions. Did you get that? You can neutralize. Please understand this. You can neutralize the power of fear, the same way we neutralize the power of faith. By not speaking. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So when death is rolling around, maybe your finances, things are going horrible, your career, all right, things are bad, people hate you at your workplace, your business, things are not working, and then you're not speaking into it. God saw darkness, child of God. He spoke light. He didn't keep quiet. Keeping quiet is like allowing things to keep going. There's a time to be quiet. That's not what I'm talking about here. All right. What I mean is there's what we call a vocabulary of silence, which I alluded to earlier when I said sometimes I haven't released your faith. And then realize you're about to start speaking what seems like faith, but you're speaking out of fear. Be quiet. All right. When you have spoken faith or released faith and things go worse, you don't have to say anything again. You don't have to say anything again. Just praise God. Praise God. Don't say the wrong thing. That's me teaching you the vocabulary of silence, all right? But this is you now not even releasing your faith and leaving things. All the pain is there. You speak today, for the next 3 days, you don't say anything. All right, you just let me exercise a bit. Let me do this a bit. Let me stretch my body a bit. Let me do this a bit. Let me do that a bit. Say something to your finances. Say something. Speak life, child of God. Speak life. Speak life. And in the place of speaking life, there are actions you would realize you need to take. Faith has corresponding action. So when you do not speak and you do not act, then you short circuit the flow of faith. I'm saying that's the way for fear. When you do not speak the fear and then don't take the step. So the fear doesn't want you to have your lunch because you feel, no, I can't eat. I'm worried. It won't. No, in the name of Jesus, I will act contrary to this. I'm having my food right now. Please give me my food. I remember listening to Copeland very many years ago. You know, he talked about, you know, he was with his mom, you know, went to pay his mom a visit. And then while he was with her, and then she had, you know, given him a meal, he was eating. Then she receives a phone call, and then it's an emergency. Her sister is in the hospital, and the call goes, if you want to see her before she dies, hurry up to the hospital right now. And then she goes, can I, let's go, let's go. Said, no, ma, I'm eating. No, ma, I'm eating. He said he sat there and kept on eating. And then while there, Lord, what do we do? What do I do? And then God gave him a revelation. Get there and speak the 23rd Psalm over her. And then he said, okay, mom, let's go. But he didn't explain to her and said, all right, mom, I need to get a word from God. I just said, okay, mom, now I'm eating. Now, this is a good part, or this is why it's very important to listen to more than one teaching of the same person. More than one. Because sometimes what you don't hear in one, you hear in like five other tapes. Now, in another tape, I was hearing Copeland say, while he was eating, it was as if, you know, he was eating gravel. Do you understand that? It was like he was eating gravel, like chewing gravel. Oh, that the food wasn't going through. Oh, dear Lord. Did you get that? Like the food wasn't going through. He had to just dig in his mouth by faith. Like, I won't, because getting up and rushing down to the hospital, and I learned that from Kenneth Copeland, what would he do? You would end up going there like everybody else. End up saying the same thing everybody went there to say. End up doing the thing everybody went there to do. Faith is acted upon. All right, words and action. Same for fear. I hope this is blessing you. So check your response level. Am I acting out in fear? What am I saying? As much as you think, oh, but I'm just being real. Check the reality. In the book of Numbers, there were spies, 12 spies sent out to check out the land. 10 of them came talking reality. Oh, but is that not it? Oh, we saw the giants, didn't we? Oh, these guys are big, right? They are the sons of Anak, aren't they? I mean, these guys can kill us, right? I mean, we saw ourselves like grasshoppers in our eyes, and we're sure that's how we were. And then Joshua and Caleb said, no, let's go up at once. And someone would be like, are you guys blind? Oh, why are you guys just always trying to just be so spiritual? Everybody's saying what happened to you, but you're trying to talk as if you didn't see. No, they were only saying what God is saying. They were only saying what God is saying. Please understand this. They were only saying what God is saying. Child of God, this will bless you. They only said what God said. The other people said what they saw, and God said, that is evil report. So, child of God, fill your thoughts with what God is saying. Fill your thoughts with what God is saying. So, I'm going to come to thoughts in like a minute. All right? So, they said what they saw. Have you ever had to speak God's word and you feel like you're lying? Oh, in the name of Jesus, I declare I'm healed. Oh, in the name of Jesus, I declare I have an unction from the Holy One. I know all things. Oh, in the name of Jesus, whatever it is you might have said, things look bad, your business looks sour. And then you're saying, oh, you know, you're speaking the word of God. Have you ever felt like you're lying? I trust you might have been there, right? Now, would you be lying when you say what God is saying? Think about that. Would you be lying when what you said was what God actually said? You're only repeating God's word. Bible says in the book of Romans, let God be true and every man a lie. Bible says in the book of Numbers, God is not a man that he should lie. So when I say what God said, irrespective of it, I mean, in as much as it is not what I'm currently experiencing, I am not lying. I am speaking the truth. In John 17, 17, Bible says, sanctify them with your truth. Jesus was speaking, your word is truth. So when I speak the word of God, I am speaking truth. I am not denying the situation. I am speaking God's word to the situation. This is your reality. This is your reality. This is your reality. What I'm speaking is truth. So speak life, child of God. Speak truth. Speak life. Speak truth. Don't say it because a Christian brother or sister around you would like to hear you say it. Say it because that's the way to change the situation. Say it because that's the way to change things. Say it because that's the way to move the mountain. Listen, the mountain knows who's serious about it. The mountain knows who means business. How did I know? Jesus said, whosoever will say to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that whatever he says will come to pass. He shall have whatever he says. So you have to believe and not doubt. That's when the mountain moves. That means if your words are not full of faith, you believing and not doubting, that mountain will move. Then we could say the mountain knows who's serious, because the mountain will only move at the voice of faith. The mountain will only move at the voice of faith. And that voice of faith isn't you spoke once, the mountain stared you back in the face and said, oh, phew, it's still here. No, you maintain your ground. You become tenacious. So faith, all right, and fear, they are expressed, they are released by words and action. Okay, now they are developed in thoughts. Don't forget we said earlier, okay, about the place of meditation. All right, we said faith is developed. All right, I said that yesterday, but I just mentioned the part of fear today. Okay, so faith is developed through meditating and acting on the word. So we said fear also is developed through meditating and acting on Satan's lies. So acting, we dealt with that. The meditation part. Guard your thoughts. Guard your thoughts. Because you could imagine great things and then they happen. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 says, you know, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works within us. But it says you can do, you know, exceedingly abundantly like more than what we can ask or think. The word think there is also the word imagine. So I could build things, all right, by storing up great thoughts in me. I could. You now have to learn to stop that fear. Stop that fear. Stop that fear. Do you remember yesterday we looked at the case of Jairus? All right. After a woman with your blood has shared a testimony and Jesus has said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Then people come from Jairus' house and say, don't trouble the master anymore. Your daughter is dead. Jesus, the Bible said, immediately said to him, be not afraid, only believe. Immediately. Listen, don't spare the fear. Don't spare the fear. Did you get that, please? Don't spare fear. Don't give it room. Don't spare fear. Stop it in its tracks. That thought is coming, block it. It will come back again. Resist it. Oh, you try to get back. Stop it. Some of you think, oh, I stopped it once. Why is it coming back? It would want to. All right, it needs a resting place, but you've got to make up your mind and let it know, I am not your resting place. Jesus immediately, same also when he walked on water, as we saw in Matthew 14, and then his disciples, okay, were scared. Bible said straightway, immediately he said to them, it is I, don't be afraid. Don't give room to fear. I'd like to say what I said again, you know. Don't spare the fear. And I believe that's God giving us, you know, a revelation. Don't spare the fear. All right? Don't spare it. Don't give it room. Don't let it thrive. Don't let it find expression. Don't let it see the light of day. Stop it. You block it by blocking the thoughts. All right? Bible clearly tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 from verse 3 to verse 5. Okay, that though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down the imaginations and every high thing, right? So we talked about fear, all right, being expressed or released like faith through words and action. But then we've talked again about the meditative side of it, the thought side of it. So kill the thought. Kill the thought. Kill the thought. It will paint pictures. Oh, the sickness is getting worse. Oh, that lump is going to grow bigger. Oh, this will happen to you. Oh, that your bone is broken. Oh, this will never happen. That will never happen. Get God's word. All right, let me hold on. Three things I want to say as we close, all right? Stop the fear. Resist it. Sound like stop, I know. Resist this, all right? Reprogram yourself, all right? Three things, all right? And then we'll move to, all right, tomorrow. Tomorrow will be good, all right? Because one thing I need to mention, okay, let me just say, I will say it tomorrow. Fear is alien to us. We'll say that tomorrow. Fear is alien to us. All right, fear is not family. It's alien. It's alien. Glory to God. Ready for tomorrow already? Okay, great. Post have a few minutes for today. Stop the fear. You stop it by killing the thoughts, killing the words, killing the actions. Please take note if you have to. Don't just listen and walk away. Stop the fear by stopping the thoughts. The weapons of our warfare are not kind of mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Cast this thing down. Bring it into captivity. Speak, it is written. It is written. Kenneth Copeland's grandchild, one many Christmases ago, I mean, the lady's married now, you know, but she was a little baby there, a little girl. And then she acted delirious one Christmas morning, and then she was rushed to the hospital. They checked her. They said it's a Syrian meningitis. And of course, like it gets to happen, one child just died, another child just got paralyzed here, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Her mom, Kelly Copeland, all right, had to turn to her elder sister. And I mean, Copeland, like he said, in this family, when one thing happens to one person, you just affected everybody. Everybody shows up with guns blazing. Hallelujah. Faith is active. Words are, you know, it's not just, oh, kwele, kwele, kwele. That might not always do anything to anybody. Okay. So let's learn that. You come in with guns blazing. Come with your faith. You know, so she turned to her sister and said, I refuse to fear. I refuse to fear. And that's it. Because you're hearing this, kill this one baby here. Or this happened to her. You refuse it. You stop it. You block it. All right? Then you resist it. James 4:7 says, we resist the devil, he will flee. Peter says in 1 Peter 5. All right, the devil, like a roaring lion, will come, you know, seeking who to devour. Resist him steadfast in your faith. Resist him. So the resist there is me, you know, like I said some few minutes ago, he will try to keep coming back. Block it. Resist is, I mean, someone wants to come through your door and you're resisting. All right? You know what it is to resist? You're pushing back the door. You're pushing back the door. I refuse this fear. I refuse this fear. Then reprogram yourself. Three things I said we're going to end with. Reprogram, meaning feel, don't just say, I refuse to fear and leave yourself empty. No, you created a vacuum. Fill up. Psalm 27 verse 1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Fill up with things like that. Load up. Load up. Please load up. Okay? Look for verses, things that assure you God's word, and fill up. Abraham was strong in faith, Romans 4 said. Fill up with the word. Load up with the word. Tank up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did you get that? Stop the fear. Don't give it room. That thought, stop it. Those words, stop them. Those actions, it allows you to take, oh, check the child again. Check the child again. Check them again. Those, call again. You know, sometimes you stop. I'm not taking this next action. What if something, I will not take this next one. Well, I will not, because I'm acting in fear. I will spend time praising God and take the next step in faith. Did you get that? Glory to God. I believe this blessed you. I believe you're finding this helpful. Please drop a comment. Let me know how it helps you. And then, you know, hey, see you tomorrow. All right.